T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Willie P. and Diesel back with you for another day. It is Wednesday, which means it's Taj Boyd Day. Talk to my man Taj here in a couple minutes.
Can we call it, well, it's Wednesday, but if we had him on Tuesday, we'd call it TB Tuesday. But we can't do that now.
No, LeBron got in trouble trying to, you know, trademark a day earlier. I don't know if I want. I don't know if I want to get into that type of area with him.
Haven't like the salsa commercials been saying Taco Tuesday since like the 90s?
Taco Tuesday. No.
If you want to trademark saying it that way, that's fine.
Well, the other part of it was there was Taco John's who did it, I think, for a while, and then there was another restaurant in like Wyoming
that Gene Simmons from Kiss has gotten super rich just going out and finding things he could trademark that aren't trademarked, like common things that we all say all the time.
Well, you know, the big one in the sports industry is the phrase that I'm not allowed to say on the air.
Schmetz get ready to schmumble.
Yes, that rhymes with that from our good friend Michael Buffer, who I've actually met him. And he seems like a reasonable individual, but he's also a stone-cold killer. I met him at a fight. I was in Vegas for a fight, and I met him, and he seemed like a reasonable individual. And I almost wanted to be like, do you know, sir, that you are basically the center of the reason why any of us ever want to say your particular trademark catchphrase, and yet if you say that trademark catchphrase, you are basically held by the cajones and the gallones for a very criminal amount of money. But anyway, that is neither here nor there. We are here to bring you an entertaining sports program over the next 3 hours. We're going to talk to our good friend Taj Boyd at 4:25, about 20 minutes from now. Manny Robinson, there are people I trust in this state. You hear a lot of them on our air. Matty C and Colin Taylor are guys who I think are probably as connected with their two programs that they cover as anybody we have. But if there's one person I want to do a big interview or to count on for a big breaking news story in our state, the guy is Manny Robinson. And he will join us at 5:25 because he and the folks at the Greenville News got to spend an hour with the brand new president of the University of South Carolina, Robert Castlin. And it is very, very much a relevant topic because of what's happening with Will Muschamp and the embattled nature of he and athletic director Ray Tanner. We'll start, though, with the situation involving the college football playoff. I was surprised. I know I called you right away, Diesel, because when it's funny, I was on the phone with some other people. You know, I have that long hour and a half drive back home, so I lost track of time. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, after the unveiling had been an hour old, I'd realized, oh my goodness, I missed the unveiling. And then I see, oh my goodness, it's Georgia at 4? I was like, what?
Yeah, that one's inexplicable.
I mean, it is. There is an explanation for it. And here's the problem. You want to know the problem? There was never going to be a decision that wasn't going to look a little weird. There are holes in every argument for number 4. Like, if you put Alabama at number 4, you go, well, they lost. How do you put a team there that they lost? How do you reward a team for losing? And if you put Georgia at number 4, you say, well, they lost to South Carolina. Well, they do have two top 15 wins. You put Oregon there, say, well, they're losses to Auburn, and they really have no other quality wins. Utah, same deal. Minnesota's only quality win came last weekend against Penn State, and Baylor's last quality win was, I think, when Art Briles was coaching. Too soon? Point being, there are holes in every argument for any team that was going to go there at number 4. But there was no question who was going to be number 1. And Oregon Director of Athletics and College Football Playoff Committee Chairman Rob Mullins explained why the Tigers, the Bayou Bengals, jumped the Buckeyes for the top spot in the land after 2 weeks of the College Football Playoff Committee rankings.
Well, I mean, obviously, we spent some time discussing it. You got two great teams at the top, LSU and Ohio State. And just like I said last week, the committee's really impressed with Ohio State and the consistent level of high play. But when you look at LSU's resume with a win over – Alabama on the road. That makes their fourth top 20 win, and they're the only team in the nation with that. They're deserving of that number one rank.
You're trying to talk to me off the air while we're on the air. Go ahead and say what you want to say, handsome.
I'm going to say North Carolina's last quality win was in the courtroom when it came to them not getting busted for 30 years of systematic academic fraud.
I would want to say maybe it was during the Butch Davis era, maybe?
Butch Davis was cheating, though. That's all part of the
first.
That's the whole part of the thing. This win came after that win. I said last quality win. You don't understand last quality win.
No, I get it. My joke was better with regards to Art Browse. You'll get there someday.
Oh, God.
I'll explain it to you when you're older.
Did you wear that plaid shirt so it makes you look like more of a man when you put on your gringo cowboy boots?
I am wearing my...
I'm
wearing the boots along with the very nice plaid shirt.
I'm going to call you Howdy Doody for the rest of the day.
That's fine. Go right ahead. I'll wear a tumbleweed inside my teeth, too, as I continue on the show, which you can chime in on.
That's a piece of grass. You don't put tumbleeid in your mouth.
Whatever the heck it is.
Nailed that joke.
844-GSB, ESPN's the phone number. You know, 90% of the joke is delivery. It doesn't really matter what the content is.
Yes, it does. If you get it wrong, the joke sucks.
Jerry Seinfeld proved that most of jokes really just happen about delivery. It really doesn't matter what the heck he says. Anyway, I don't have a ginormous problem with Georgia. I feel like Georgia is the most defensible. But here's the other reasoning behind why Georgia is there. Georgia's there to try and provide some juice to the final part of this season. Why is that? Well, if you put Alabama there, there's really no maneuvering in this college football playoff from now until the final week of the season. Georgia just happens to play a team in Auburn who is ranked 12th in the college football playoff rankings this weekend in the Deep South's oldest rivalry at Jordan-Hare. So this again, I say it again, while I totally agree with the fact that this is something that at the end always seems to, quote, work itself out. You can be somebody like me who will accuse the committee of a little bit of agenda building here. They're trying to create some juice.
It very well could. Georgia could go on the road and lose to a top 15 Auburn.
And that would give Auburn some juice and possibly put Alabama back in that number four slot for, oh, by the way, in 2 weeks, guess what happens? Bama and Auburn in the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare. In a winner-take-all contest for whoever at least could be the second playoff team out of the SEC, which it's looking like is going to happen. Even if you get Oregon and Utah showing down in a one-loss matchup inside that awful stadium in Santa Clara on a Friday night, while they play that game on a Friday night in Santa Clara, I have no idea why. The Pac-12 completely misfired on the demand for that. But if I would just say the wild card here still is Minnesota, because Minnesota has the ability to completely spoil the apple cart for Georgia, Bama, Oregon, whoever, especially after their win over Penn State, they could cruise their way into an undefeated Big Ten West Championship, go into the Big Ten Championship, play Ohio State, and turn this whole thing on its head. Then maybe Ohio State could be that second team that goes in. Who knows? But here's Rob Mullins on what exactly was meant by putting Georgia where they are, Bama where they are, and why the Bulldogs ultimately are the number four team in the country.
Well, obviously, I'm recused from the room when Oregon's on the board. But as you look at 4 and 5, the discussion around those two teams was, you know, two really good teams, obviously, one loss teams. We just saw Alabama had a tough loss against LSU. But you compare that against Georgia's resume and the two big wins that Georgia had. And then when, you know, the committee reported to me, when you get to Oregon and Utah, as we mentioned last week, Oregon has the win over USC, Utah lost to USC. And obviously you can see the move of Minnesota and how the committee was impressed with the win over Penn State.
So again, it tells me that there really isn't any real reason other than Georgia has the biggest game of the year this week, or has the biggest game of the week this week, is what I should say. That's all that tells me, and that this is the opportunity for Georgia. It would be their third win against a team that's ranked in the top 15, They've already beaten Notre Dame, or the top 16, I should say. They beat Notre Dame, who is still ranked 16th, regardless of what you feel about the Irish at this point of the season. They beat Florida, who is ranked 11th. They beat Auburn, that's 12. That's more top 15, 16 wins than anybody else in the group. So that situation allows the Bulldogs to stick around. And if your Mulligan-type loss occurs early enough and is not as embarrassing like Ohio State's was against Iowa last year, you earn that mulligan. Because that game went to overtime, because it was inside the conference, apparently it wasn't as much of an eyesore as some of the others in recent memory that we've seen from this committee. And it's inherently obvious to me, Diesel, that there isn't going to be more than three undefeated teams, if not maybe two undefeated teams by the time we're all said and done looking at this. But as we say, stay tuned.
I love it. Manufactured drama. I know you hate it.
It's terrible.
It drives you insane.
My buddy, so I don't know if you saw this, my buddy Ross Dellinger, who we have on here very periodically from time to time. We had him on and actually this time last week to talk about the committee and all that stuff. He was getting real, real angry. Like, angry. And I even texted him. I was like, are you okay, bro? And he's like, nah, man, I got a little bit too much into the recruiting bourbon and the red wine, and Liz was busting my chops, and I was just, I got on Twitter, and I was a little angry. But he's saying the same thing that I've said to you over the course of the last couple of days and weeks. He says there's a disturbing amount of people who actually believe that it's better to let humans choose playoff participants through asinine metrics rather than have teams automatically advance to a playoff through winning championships on a field. He's very much of the mind that there should be eight, all the Power Five championships, and a group of five automatic bid, and then have a committee allow the seeding and the group of five championship, and maybe two at-larges if you want two at-larges.
I love it. That's the playoff system I like the best.
But it makes too much sense. It offers you no controversy. Mm-hmm. And then you have people here who are talking about, oh, well, what about...
I thought you hated controversy.
No. No.
You want it cut and dry.
I want it cut, dry.
So then you want the five conference champions, a group of five representative, and then you have a little bit of chaos, but that little bit of chaos is usually going to be in one and two lost teams.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with that. No, here's the problem. My problem is with people who say, well, that ruins the regular season, and that, you know, people are saying, oh, well, what about Alabama? Alabama wouldn't play Tua now because the games don't matter as much. How about we just play the games and not have to worry about the ancillary meaning of every minute detail of every game? How about the only detail we worry about is the score on the scoreboard being one more than the other team at the end of the game? Because that's really the foundation of what this sport is built upon. It's not built upon strength of record. It's not built upon strength of schedule. It's not built upon the FPI. It's built upon winning and losing. If you win, you get the spoils. You get the golden scepter in your lobby like Dabo has, and Nick Saban has, and that old crystal ball that they used to bring out, that they still also kind of bring out now because it's now under some different jurisdiction now. It's one of the reasons why this sport just fails to just, for me. I'm grabbing. I know that's terrible for radio. It fails to grab me the way that the niffle does.
But if you go to that model, it sort of props up Clemson and the ACC. It props you up being in a weak conference because it's really easy to run the table, and then all you got to do is run the table. And then all of a sudden, strength of schedule doesn't matter.
But
the matchups are going to get bad. Alabama's going to do what Alabama does and schedule, you know, Texas Abilene. You know, that's who they're going to schedule, and all that matters is having a zero in the right-hand column.
Here's a problem. I see what you're saying there. My plan would also be involved having the standardized scheduling that I've talked to you about over the course of... I want comprehensive reform.
Caller wanted to correct you, by the way. Ohio State lost to Purdue last year.
Purdue, that's
not
right.
Not to Iowa.
Purdue. Who lost to Iowa? Somebody lost to Iowa last year. It was Purdue, though. You're right. There was one time that Iowa had this. Maybe 2 years ago, it was Iowa beat somebody. Iowa always ends up getting one of these wins late in the season. That's like, really? It wasn't this past year. It was maybe it was 2017. I'm thinking about Iowa. I don't know. Also Kirk Ferentz, by the way. You want to talk about a guy who had it? It was 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, it was 2 years ago they beat Ohio State. That's the one I'm thinking of. 2 years ago they beat Ohio State. Two years ago in November they beat Ohio State, 55-24 in their building. That was it. 2 years ago they beat Ohio State. Is that what he was saying? He was calling back to correct me.
No, he was speaking about Michigan.
Michigan. Okay. Interesting. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line is at 71307. We'll get into the Bob Castellan stuff that happened in the Greenville News. I have some thoughts on that. I think a lot of that's been rather overblown, if you're asking me, because on one hand, he says Muschamp is the coach at the end of the year. But on the other hand, he's saying, I'm not going to spend $19 million to buy out a head coach when I can put that money towards other use. Unless somebody's going to write a fairy check for $19 million, which, as I've told you, there isn't a donor who's out to do that. This is not Texas. We don't just find $19 million underneath a couch cushion. So I'm still of the belief that Muschamp will get the 2020 season, but he will be, I would say,
on a very short leash.
Well, not even on the very short leash. He will be implored to make some changes to his staff, which more than likely will involve the firing of one, if not both, of his coordinators. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. Clemson basketball had its first two signings of the 2020 recruiting class, too. We'll talk about plenty to get to. And we'll get into this Colin Kaepernick workout farce that I think it is. But coming up next, we'll talk to Taj Boyd, get his thoughts as the Tigers get ready for their final home contest against Wake Forest this weekend. Willie P. and Diesel, it's ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I don't like when you have side conversations with the guests while you are getting them ready to be prepped to be on air. I'm starting to find out, as you and I have spent some time together, that my level of trust for you is very variable, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Good friend Taj Boyd joins us for his usual Wednesday spot here on ESPN Upstate. What's going on, Taj? How are you, pal?
Well, you know this. It's hard to trust Diesel, man. So I can get what you're saying there.
See, that's my guy right there. That's my guy. So,
no, what's going on with you, man? How's everything on your end?
We are good, buddy. What do you remember about your senior day?
Oh man, so that was it's hard to forget it, you know. And I do a lot of talking these days about being in that present moment on a day-to-day. And that one was pretty special, man, mainly because, I mean, look, the running down the hill becomes just kind of a thing to do after a while. You know, it gets pretty monotonous. You enjoy it, but, you know, it's like, all right, I'm going to continue to do this. So why even take it all in? And then senior year rolls around, or junior if you're going to peel out early. And you realize that you have 6 times to run down the hill, and then it goes 4, then it goes 2, and then on that last one is the first time that you actually see Death Valley for what it is. So you're atop of that hill by yourself, sitting next to that rock, and just this roar of applause, and it's beautiful, man. And that's when you really appreciate Clemson for what it is. You appreciate the people for what they bring to the table, and you realize that none of those things that you do on the field matter if nobody's watching. So you just you go through it with gratitude, man. So it's a good time.
I believe that was a 52-6 win over the Citadel, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I got a concussion that game. I'm pretty sure I did. Coach Winnie was like, look, whatever you do, don't run the football. You don't need to do it. Just if it's there, take it. If it's not, throw it away. We'll get you out of here, kick a field goal. But you know me, it was like 3rd and 9. And I step up in the pocket, my last play. And, I try to go for it. Got hit about 7 yards into it by a big linebacker. And, you know, they got that militant mindset, you know. So I get up a little woozy, stumble back to the sideline. The coach, when he was like, what did I just tell you? And I said, coach, I can't help myself. So, yeah, that's how that whole thing played out.
Well, that goes back to what you told me last week when you said the biggest hits you got were from the in-state FCSs.
Absolutely. So Citadel, Wofford, South Carolina State, and boys was banging out there. It was good, man. So, yeah, those guys do bang. And obviously, they never let it escalate to the point that we did against Wofford. So I was proud of those guys for that, man. They did what they were supposed to do.
Just because you were talking about running down the hill, I have to ask you this. Did you or did you ever witness somebody fall?
Down the hill? Absolutely. Yeah. A few times. I mean, saw a couple guys roll some ankles. There was a class reunion, I think, somewhere in 2011. All right, we played North Carolina, and the game was delayed for like 30 minutes because one of these guys from this 40-50-year class reunion decided that it was okay to run and jump down the hill like he was back in the olden days. Mm. And long story short, the ambulance came out there and had to roll this guy off the field. So I'm sure it was pretty memorable for him.
Oh, my gosh. That's brutal.
I know, right? Can't take it out of him, you know?
So 15 years from now, Taj, are you going to be running and jumping down that hill, or are you going to be smart enough to walk down it?
Hey, look, I didn't do that when I was here, so I'm definitely not going to do it later on.
Yeah, I'd be worried about falling. I would be so – I mean, and people ask me, too, like, people ask me that same question. I'm like, well, they dedicate one of their last fall practices to all the game day stuff and, like, you know, the running down the hill, and they practice the bus trip and everything like that. I'm sure at that point I'm just like, man, I'm just trying to tiptoe down there, man. I don't want any part of that.
Well, because I used to ask – well, so I didn't really have any prior experience. Again, I didn't watch Clemson growing up. Had no clue what the hill was, to be completely honest. So my first time coming down it, or first time seeing it, was actually coming down it. And I would notice that CJ wouldn't really sprint down the hill like Coach Sweeney does, like a madman. Shooting out of a cannon. And I asked CJ why. He was like, it's a little steep. So I took heed to what he said, and I started to gallop down there a little bit sideways, you know, just to pace myself. And plus, look, I didn't want to be too exasperated out there on the football field, so I wanted to conserve my energy. So, yeah, I was never a real big sprinter or jumper, to tell you that matter.
Our weekly talk with Taj Boyd joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Clemson plays Wake Forest, and I don't know if it's just dumb luck, Taj, or just the way that the season's kind of gone through it, but it seems like Clemson is getting all these teams a little bit diminished from what they are from full strength. You know, NC State came up with a backup quarterback, Boston College, same thing, and Wake Forest down 2 of its 3 great receivers. It's these other teams coming in here snake bit.
Yeah, look, man, they're coming in there getting legged out here. And it's pretty unfortunate because I do want to see teams at their full capacity play against Clemson, not only for the challenge itself, but to really see how these guys match up. I mean, Chaz Surratt is going to be, I think, a consensus All-American when it's said and done. I think he's going to be a first-round wide receiver. And I think that Jamie Newman's a super talented quarterback. So I want to see what DK looks like out there. I want to see what AJ Terrell looks like. I want to see Nolan Turner and Tanner Muse in coverage. And it's unfortunate that we don't get to see it in this game, to be completely honest. But, again, if that's going to be the case, then I expect just total domination. And for Jamie Newman to come out of this game with less than 200 yards passing. So,
We'll
see how it plays out.
How much of a factor is being battle-tested going into a situation like the college football playoff?
I think it's extremely important. I really do, which is why, like, you know, Clemson gets scrutinized for – because there's a part of me, okay, like Clemson plays a lot of guys, and they've always done that. And it does work into their favor later on in the season. Now, it takes a little bit longer to build chemistry and camaraderie when you don't have your guys playing for four straight quarters, week in and week out. But as they continue to develop, well, those other guys get an opportunity too, which is why it's been great for Clemson to go out there and pull away from these teams fairly easily within the first half. But battle-tested is a real thing, which is why, I don't know. I mean, I had this conversation with this guy, and he was like, if you had to take Joe Burrow or Tua, who are you taking? And I said, I'll take Joe Burrow.
Hmm.
And the reason I say that, I still think that Joe Burrow is a work in progress, and I think that Tua is a really, really good quarterback. I think he processes the game well. I think he makes good reads. I don't think he's 100% healthy, and obviously I know that because he had an opportunity to run for a 5-yard touchdown last week, and he didn't. You know, he just decided to toss it up in the back of the end zone. Any other quarterback takes that off, man, and especially because I know who he is. But the one thing that surprises me and that I love about Joe Burrow more than most quarterbacks in college football is that he competes. And he is willing to do whatever it takes on that football field, and he is willing to die with those guys on that grass. And that's an intangible that you can't teach, you can't coach. There's nothing to train that on. That's just innate, and that's what he has. So if it's fourth quarter and you got 2 minutes to go, I mean, I think Joe Burrow is one of those guys that you want quarterback in your team. And that's what I loved about Trevor Lawrence this season. Some people are saying, well, you know, he shouldn't be taking these hits in the quarterbacks. He shouldn't be running at the level he is, and the OC shouldn't be putting him in that position. But if we never saw it, we don't know what he has, and even if he's willing to go out there and sacrifice his body for those guys. And once the guys see that, well, they can play at a high level too because they know that he's going to do whatever it takes. That's what I love about quarterbacks more, with some quarterbacks as opposed to others, to be completely honest. So,
Taj Boyd joining us here, former Clemson quarterback. The thing that I've always said about Tua, and I think in the past I've said that I find, you know, the stats around Tua somewhat fraudulent just because, you know, when I got to see him up close and personal, especially in the South Carolina game, I just feel like all the plays that are being made within, you know, 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, and then the wide receivers are the ones who are making the breakout plays after the catch, whether it's, you know, running away from guys or juking or if it's a block downfield. You know, not to say that Tua can't make the throws. It's just I don't know how he's going to react when he goes to play in the National Football League and the best wide receiving core that he'll ever have as a professional or a collegiate will be this year at Alabama. I don't think he'll have receivers in the NFL, at least, you know, relative to their peers, that are as good as what he has this year.
Well, you'd probably be correct on that. I mean, his receiving core is absolutely star-studded. And, you know, a guy like, you know, when you talk about quarterbacks and their capacity to transition to the NFL, and I'm not saying this just because of the Samoan Hawaiian descent, but his game really does favor Marcus Mariota.
Right.
And Marcus hasn't done him any favors as far as to his prospects going forward. Now he'll end up in a completely different organization. But I mean, there's something about his game that I don't know that he can put a franchise on his back and do what it takes. Now, when you saw Deshaun do that in the national championship game, you know, both times, some people still have reservations about Deshaun. But that was also a game and in the situation where he absolutely had to put it on his back and try to win that game. Tua has not done that yet. And that's the scary component going forward. You know, it's the scary part about picking up a guy like Daniel Jones. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know if a guy like that can carry a franchise. And when you're talking about making a capital investment the way those teams are, that's what you need, because you're not always going to be in perfect situations where you got a really good running back and you got a really solid O-line and your receiving core is up to par. College, you get away with that because, you know, it is slighted. There are teams that are just flat out better than the next. You can get away with calling bad plays because those guys are going to win those one-on-one matchups. But in the NFL, there is, in a way, regardless of the team, there's still an even playing field out there. And if that's the case, then I would love to see what that looks like going forward. I'm not saying that he won't be successful, but I don't think it's going to be as easy the transition for him as it is for others, which is why, like, a guy like Lamar Jackson does not surprise me one bit at all. He shouldn't surprise anybody, actually, because whatever he did for Louisville when he was there was him on his own. I couldn't name another player on that roster outside of Lamar Jackson. And when you see that, it's like, well, what happens if I take this guy and put him over here with some players? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I like to do that, and I like to imagine what it looks like if you take this guy out and put him on another organization and see what it looks like that way, because I think it does hold some merit and it holds some value that way.
Where does Trevor fit in that equation?
That's what I don't know yet. I think Trevor, from a talent standpoint, is as good as it gets. But if you were to – I mean, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks. I wouldn't say a lot. There are some quarterbacks in college football right now that if you put them on this Clemson team, end up with very similar stats and situations that Trevor has, because I do think that Trevor has a complete team around him. Now, there's a sense there where, you know, they build and grow towards his leadership. But, yeah, I think Tua does the same thing here if he had this team. I think that Joe Burrow does the same thing here if he had this team. Trevor, on the other hand, I mean, I think he's better than Jake Fromm, you know, and I think he's better than – I think he'd do what Justin Herbert's doing. So I think they mesh well. But Clemson's just so loaded that it's tough to say the other quarterbacks couldn't do what Trevor's doing, if that makes sense.
You hear his stuff with us every Wednesday at 425. You're always Gucci, my man. Appreciate it.
Always, bro. Appreciate you.
That's Taj Boyd joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. I always love the way he can talk through the quarterback situation and scenarios. And I'm glad that he agrees with me that, you know, a lot of Tua's greatness comes from what's around him. And you could say, people would say that, you know, they don't want to hear this, but Trevor probably has a lot of that same stuff attached to him now.
It just hurts to know that Taj Boyd doesn't trust me.
I mean, I don't know a single person who does. I mean, the boss don't trust you. I think Mark Alonso trusts you. Maybe
DMV
Mark,
doesn't trust me for some reason. I don't know why.
Mark Ryan might trust you.
I don't know.
Who knows? He also apparently is asking the question right now whether or not you would wear the Ed Orgeron Roll Tide blankety blank you shirt. And the answer to that is I would wear it every damn day if I was an LSU fan. Because why not? 844-ESPN is a phone number. Text line 71307. I used to own a couple of shirts that were basically NSFW, if you will. Probably wouldn't be able to be worn now as a 32-year-old man, but that is neither here nor there. We'll come back. I have some comments about the Robert Caslin interview done by the Greenville News. We're going to talk to Manny Robinson about that coming up at 525, but I want to share some of my thoughts on what the new USC president had to say, get you ready for USC A&M this week as well. Lots to get to on a very busy Wednesday program. Willie P and Diesel, 844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 on the text. It is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So you're telling me you just don't want me to bring you any coffee now. That's fine.
I'm telling you, you've been drinking up all my coffee. You didn't bring it up anymore.
I've maybe drank 2 cups of your coffee in the last two weeks. Two in the last 2 weeks, probably. I've been bringing my own. I've been bringing my own to fill in the Keurig situation. I'm guessing this is an endorsement from Clay C on Taj. Boy, Taj was really good today. Not that he isn't always good. I mean, he was really good today. I loved getting him going on comparing quarterbacks. That's kind of where his greatest strength is with us. You want to hear a bad joke? This is from Scott Boris. All 30 teams will want in their Christmas stockings a lump of coal. And that being Garrett Cole, not C-O-A-L. Of course, Scott Boris is the agent for the Houston Astros pitcher of very much import coming to free agency this offseason.
So you're saying it's a double entendre?
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
Okay.
It is a double meaning. It's a secondary meaning.
That's what entendre means.
Yes. You act like I don't use entendre all the time. Entendre is not even like a $2 word for me. Okay. USC President Robert Caslin spent about an hour at the folks at the Greenville News on Tuesday. He didn't come and pay us a visit. Thanks a lot, Bob. The retired lieutenant general in the U.S. Army. The big quote that people want to circle around is him saying, "Coach Muschamp is my coach. That's the message. He will be my coach through the end of the season." And then just like any coach that's out there, whether it's a soccer coach or an equestrian coach, whatever, they're going to do an end-of-year assessment, the athletic director does, and then we'll see what's up. People, of course, are looking at what he did at Army when he got right there and ended up firing the head coach there, Rich Ellerson. I believe he then went and hired Mr. Munkin, who is the coach there now. And because of that, obviously, people are thinking that he might do a similar type of about face when it comes to Muschamp. But again, $19.4 million is what they would have to pay Will Muschamp if they fire him before December 30th. On December 31st, it increases to $18.8 million. And Caslin said, quote, "If I wanted to do that, I'm not saying I would. Where am I going to come up with $18 million? There's so much more. As the president of the university, I could do with $18 million than to buy out a coach's contract. I could build a parking garage. I could revamp a stadium. I could do so many other things. Why would I do that?" So there are other things, too, involving the assistants, you know, because you'd have to basically have early termination clauses involving the coaches. Basically, you're looking at around $20 to $25 million to basically start the F over. And you have to also think about this, and this is something that's brand new to this process. You have the transfer portal. Who in their right mind would want to stay here if you fire a head coach after 4 years? Now, granted, a lot of South Carolina fans will sit there and say, "Oh, well, you know, players weren't good enough to get more than 4 wins. What the hell good are they anyway?" I don't know if that's the right way to go. That's just me. Because there is some talent on this team, and there's some talent that's been recruited by this staff. Granted, a lot of it has failed to reach its expectations. Ryan Helinski has been lesser than expected. Granted, he's been in front of a patchwork offensive line and diminished receiving core and running back room at various points of the season, and also has been hurt himself.
You want to know what's a prime recipe for having to buy out somebody else 4 years from now? It's buying out Will Muschamp now, strip mining any talent that's left in this program who's going to leave and go somewhere else, and then expecting that guy to perform miracles with a strip mined, with a weakened program.
I mean, that's the part of it. That's the part of the Will Muschamp do you or don't you thing that I've just never really gotten behind, is that do you know what it means to fire a head coach in 2019? You basically are admitting fault. You're admitting that your program is deficient. Think about what it took for Florida State to basically throw up their hands and say, my bad, on Willie Taggart after not even a second season. Like, that has to be a systemic failure to have any confidence in that man. Now, granted, there's nobody who's going to sit here and tell you that they couldn't see the writing on the wall with Willie Taggart. And it's not as if that Will Muschamp shows you anything through the next two games that provides you any type of optimism for the future. But you did go between the hedges and beat Georgia. You did, in your second season, win 9 games and go to a New Year's Day bowl. So this part of it needs to at least be a part of where your thinking is. It's not just, you lost 8 games in the fourth season and you failed to show progress. You've had a quirky year. Some stuff has happened. It's not all in a vacuum. Let's go to Harold. He wants to chime in on the Muschamp sit. She joins us now on ESPN Upstate at 844-GSP-ESPN. Hello, Harold.
Yeah, hello to you, Will and Diesel. Y'all making a lot of sense. We talked kind of spun on this yesterday, but what I've heard, he's going to get his fifth year. He's going to get his fifth year. Now, I think he got his third year. I think he got his fourth year from last year because of the defense depletion. Mm-hmm. You know, that was of all those defensive players, every one of them's out. I believe they had won 10 games. It hadn't been for that, including Clemson.
He scored 35 points in that building, yeah.
His thing this year. Now, it's the offense. Key offensive players going down, you know. And I'm sure, I heard this so much from Todd Ellis, I was hearing it in my dream, the most winningest coach in the history of Carolina football, you know. Yeah, he won 22 games over Steve Spurrier's 21.
Right.
He lost 17. Steve Spurrier lost 6. Boy, that's setting the woods on fire when it comes to that comment, you know.
It was in between Are You Kidding Me's and – Touchdown,
yeah, but anyway, that's – but Will, he's going – like I said, since Rex and – barring Richard Bales, one-year tenure there, interim coaches, you know,
yeah.
Before Joe Morrison and after Jim Carlin, every coach has gotten to 5 years. So if this would be history. This would be history if they'd let him go this year. But history's going to be made. Clemson's going to make it, be the first one to win 6 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Carolina won the first 5, but Clemson's going to make it 6.
Right.
Now, I don't know, you know, but I think he's coming back because who's out there right now? Listen, how does a coach get $18 million to have a buyout like the Florida State coach down there? How do they come up with stuff like that?
Good agents. It's literally all. That's the answer.
And schools who are willing to agree to it.
Exactly. That kind of gets into what I want to talk about here a little bit later. Just because, again, I've had this topic in the show the last couple of days, and I want to at least get to it. But eventually, some of these schools have to start taking a stand and say, "No, we're not gonna agree to these buyouts. It's not results. We want results. You don't get a buyout unless you get results." Don't agree to a buyout blindly like that.
That's agreeing to pay somebody a lot of money if they stink.
Right. Well, I think what needs to happen there is similar to what has to happen with or what did happen, unfortunately, with the Major League Baseball free agency dip last year. Is that, hey, or 2 years ago, is that, hey, stand pat. We're not going to offer these big buyouts. We're just not, unless you have a results on the field, if you have actual, you know, skins on the wall, like an Urban Meyer. But if we're taking a chance on you, heck no, I'm not giving you a buyout like that. Just not.
Well, it all goes back to the nature of coaching in college football. Is that if you have 2, used to be 5, now it's down to 2, in some cases even 1, Willie Taggart, 1 good season, somebody else is going to hire you away because they're so afraid of missing out on you.
Right.
You know, Florida State was so afraid of missing out on Willie Taggart that they took a gamble and they lost.
Right.
Big time. Instead of going after a coach that was proven, that had did he even have a winning record anywhere he's been in the last two jobs? No. He had a losing record at Oregon. He had a losing record at Western Kentucky. So why in the hell would you offer Willie Taggart that kind of a bad
South Florida.
South Florida, excuse me. Why would you have? Why would you do that? It's idiotic.
It's you're not wrong. 844 GSP ESPN. The phone number. We're long due for a break. Number one player possibly in the NFL draft. We'll be back after one more game sitting out. We'll explain next on ESPN Upstate. Texter from the 864 goes, Willie P, the 9-win season for South Carolina only had 2 wins against Power 5 teams with at least 8 wins, Michigan and NC State. What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Winning football games is not easy, guys. Like, I mean, you know, you people act like South Carolina plays Little Sisters of the Poor. They're in the SEC East, man. Give them some credit. My God. Right? Jeez. Buckeyes Chase Young will not play this weekend against the State University of New Jersey, colloquially known as Rutgers. But after that, he will return to take on Penn State and Michigan. So Ohio State, very similarly to what we said about Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, very similar type of an amount a couple of years ago. That's the 2-game suspension that he will serve. And he was apparently very contrite to the folks at the NCAA. They expedited this. Funny how they did this. They still haven't ruled on Missouri yet. But, you know, I'll just keep my – I'll hold my tongue there. I'm pretty sure that the great suits inside the palatial estate in Indianapolis, headed up by that stooge Mark Emmert, will rule fairly in that case. Don't you?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.